smooth adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Daffy Duck. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Olaf Summer Camp. The first summer camp for happy snowmen.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. So why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
You ready for a little therapy?
I love Disney therapy. The reason I don't need a therapist is because of Disney.
Amen.
Just kidding. I don't know how true that is because I've only known Disney for just a couple of years now. You know, I'm only like
haven't
five.
They been the happiest years of your life?
My five Disney years have been magical. I tell you.
No, we thought it would be fun to finally talk about our trip after we've had a moment to decompress from the trip.
Right.
It was more crazy than we let on when we talked about Frozen Ever After. We had more experiences that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so specifically, we decided for the New Year's Eve celebration down at Walt Disney World, which is infamously known as the busiest day of the year at the parks.
Right.
And we thought, what the heck? Let's do it. Let's go down.
Let's overtorture ourselves with that.
So we showed up a day early on the 30th. We decided to go to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
On the 30th, right?
Because Magic Kingdom does their fireworks for the New Year twice the day before New Year.
They sure do.
So we're like, great, we can see two fireworks displays for New Year, right?
Yeah, even more, because then we were planning on seeing them for New Year's Eve as well. So
right.
Yeah. Yeah, there was going to be a lot of... this is the way you should be celebrating New Year's Eve. Not at one moment, but like at multiple moments, like again and again and again.
Yeah.
Like everybody should do it, right?
Well, everybody was. everybody was at the park doing the exact same thing.
Legitimately. I mean, like the capacity at Magic Kingdom, I think is about 100,000 people or so is the number. I kind of thought it might be higher than that. I thought it might be like 120, 125.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, they end up closing the gates at noon on the 31st.
Right.
And it felt like they should have closed them at noon on the 30th because it was so busy.
It was so busy.
Right.
And we had fast passes for the day, which is why we were there, honestly. You know, like, obviously the fireworks were important, but if you can't get fast passes when it's that busy,
yeah,
you're going to do a lot of just standing around, which is very uncomfortable in the heat.
Because it was hot.
It was so hot.
It was 87 degrees. Like,
and this is the thing is...
And humid.
It was so humid. We were trying to get somewhere. It's always a task during that time period. But we made the mistake of trying to get across the park during a parade.
We had just gotten off the white boat. Mark Twain, but not quite. River Bell, what's it called?
Something the like Liberty
that.
Bell.
The Liberty Bell. So we just got off that ride.
Yeah.
And it puts you on that side of the parade route.
Right.
And so we had no way of crossing over where we needed to go.
Anyone that's been to a Disney park knows that the parades, they move at a pretty good clip, but they do stop all traffic, obviously, across. Mm-hmm. You can't be walking across the road. Mm-hmm. So we had to stand there and kind of watch the parade. And I felt so bad for the performers in the parade because it's a Christmas parade.
Yeah.
And so everyone is dressed in like fur coats and hats and boots and gloves. And I was like, this looks horrific.
Yeah.
For these poor people. I think Santa had like a fan in his sleigh, like blowing on him to keep him cool.
Yeah, I think you are right.
But in general, those poor performers that are in full Christmas garb in Florida, it's just inappropriate. I feel like Florida should not do that. Like, if you're going to have a Christmas parade, that's great, but make it a Florida Christmas parade.
Right.
You can wear red and white t-shirts and bathing suits and stuff, and you'd be fine. you know?
Yeah, we've already talked about how we felt like it was a warped reality. Like, you're feeling like you're living in this really distorted world because it's super, super hot, and yet people are trying to participate, like, make you feel like it's Christmas. Yeah. And you're like, I don't understand because I'm wearing a tank top.
Yeah.
Like, how is this even a thing?
There's garland and Christmas lights everywhere, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, we're from Utah, which is the, you know, the greatest snow on earth place, which is literally 3 degrees right now.
Right.
And, you know, people are showing videos of 6 feet of snow up on the ski resorts and stuff, you know, and we're like, really? Are you sure? It's 68 degrees here right now. And so, like, it's a weird adjustment, but
it is weird.
Fantastically fun.
And it was super crowded, but you have to find ways to pass time between fast passes. If you're not willing to stand in line, you've got to find things to do between attractions, right?
You do.
So we did the Liberty Bell, like we said. I think we did it twice. Did we do it twice?
We did.
We did the Liberty Bell. We had fast passes for Haunted Mansion, so we were able to get on that pretty quick. And then I had fast passes for Pirates, but we ended up riding it multiple times because we got there fairly early and the line wasn't terribly long, so we just did a standby for Pirates.
Right.
And then we had a fast pass for Pirates.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a fast pass for
it. And then we also were fortunate enough to do the pirate recruitment thing.
We won a fast pass.
We won a fast pass.
Yeah, they were giving us free stuff all weekend long.
That was the best part, honestly.
But how did tell everybody how we won the fast pass.
So there's a fun game that you can play at Magic Kingdom. You go just past Pirates, and there's a little tiny cabin-y kind of place that's pirate recruitment, basically. And you go in and you tap your magic band and they give you a special map of the area, and they send you to these specific areas that you then tap with your magic band, and it makes crazy things happen around you. And then they tell you to go to another mark on your map, basically, all within the same kind of Adventureland kind of area.
Yeah, they're really cool. One of the things that you do on the path is the bamboo, like, drops forward and shoots arrows at you.
Yeah. It feels like. Steve was not paying attention at this point.
Totally thought I was going to get killed.
And it's not like small effects every time either. Like, literally, inside the pirate store, you touch it and there's a battle between two ships and a bottle.
Oh, that one was
and
cool.
One of them sinks. Like, it's a full-on experience that you're going around doing.
Yeah.
And once you do two of these maps, they give you fast passes for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Now, we've seen that people say that the fast passes are not a guarantee.
Yeah.
We were being as nice as possible to the girl, and I even made a joke saying that she has all the power in the park, and then that's right after that's when they handed us the fast pass, so...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I thought it was fun even without the fast passes, honestly.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people playing, so it's really impressive that they can keep that many people playing without everyone running over each other. We only had to wait a few times.
Right, we did. And it was really, really fun about it because there would be people standing right in front of the interaction that we were getting ready to do, mm-hmm. and they had no idea what we were doing. And next thing you know, like, smoke was coming out, fires were starting, and things.
Cannons were firing and
like
things.
And people are like looking at it like, what the heck are you doing? Like, what is it? It's fantastic.
It's such a fun game, and it's a really good way for a small group. I wouldn't recommend a large group doing it, but for small groups to pass the time between other activities, I think the Pirates thing is super fun.
Yeah. I do wonder if you had because we saw a mother, whether it was with her son, mm-hmm. walking around doing it, and the mother looked like she was very irritated with it. Oh, that was actually a different one.
It was a different thing, but still, you have to kind of all be involved with it for it to be fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, small groups. Small groups are fun to do.
Or if you're a season pass holder that goes frequently, because that's pretty much all that.
That's true.
Because we were noticing in the parking lot, 90% of the license plates were Florida.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting back to that on that.
We'll do another one podcast on that. Mm-hmm. But they were being
not the Florida very... people are not allowed.
Right. Yeah.
We'll talk about
what are you doing there? And they were passing out cookies to us while we were walking through the park.
They did give us free cookies.
And I feel like this is, it's the end of the season for them, but it's also super crowded. And so they're trying to make magical experiences, even though there's not a lot they can do about line length.
That's a very good point.
They're like, right. Well, the lines were really long, but they gave us free cookies while we were walking through, and that was nice.
That is true. And the maps and the fast passes and the interactive games were all super fun. They also gave us pirate booty while we were there.
I forgot about my booty.
I just walked past my my temporary tattoo downstairs, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Because I liked it so much, I was unwilling to put it on yet. I was like, I want to do something with it.
You're going to sweat it off in Florida anyway.
That is true. And I want to make sure that, like, I don't know what I want to do with it yet, but I got to do something cool.
I got a ring.
So, oh, you did? Yeah. Yes. You got a pirate booty ring.
I was playing with it the whole time. A pirate booty ring. Really? I wasn't going to talk about this, but we're going to jump to it real quick.
Okay.
The worst experience I've ever had at Disney Park ever. Ever.
Are you going there?
I'm going to go there.
Okay.
We decided to go back and ride Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Yes, we did.
And we were walking up and the lady's like, I know the sign says 35 minutes, but it's really 55 minutes. And we had nothing to do, so we're like, okay, you know, I guess, whatever. And we're standing there and the line is not moving.
Yeah, and normally that ride moves very quickly. It's an omni-mover ride, so it's literally, you're just...
constant.
Right, it's kind of like a pirate's ride.
How is this just stopped? How are we just stopped here?
Ridiculous.
So confused. I kept looking ahead going... And at one point, you're like, let's bail. And I'm like, I'm just fascinated as to what has held this up this long.
And the queue that we were in, we were so buried back into a corner. Like, there wasn't a way to get out of the queue. Like, we're stuck in
a
cave.
You'd have to push past people and
stuff. Yeah, and it was really, like, and there were even some really pushy girls in there, that like the little kids. And I was like, what is up with you?
Yeah.
You're so rude. Ugh. But then...
We start chatting with people around us, as you do in line, and they're chit-chatty about when's this and who's that and la-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we get up to a junction, and the lady says, how many people in this party? And we say, two. And how many people in the next party? Two. Okay. Then she says, all right, come on in.
So embarrassing.
And we walk in, and there's Ariel.
Yep.
Sitting on a rock, and I was like,
perfectly lit, cameras ready, wind blowing. She looked perfect.
We're going, what is going on?
Because we think we're getting on Ariel's
ride. Yeah, like we so confused. And Steve says, I didn't know you were going to be here, to the poor little mermaid girl. And anyone that knows me knows that character interactions are by far my greatest fear. This is my worst case scenario, being trapped in an entire, like, a small space with a character. It was horrific.
And I was holding onto our backpack, and the photographer just ripped it out of my hands.
She's like, don't let her see that. That's foul. And, like, she's just taking tons of pictures of us while we're talking to her. I'm like, are we supposed to look at the camera? What is going on? And we did it as fast as we could and got up and ran the hell out of there. And I was like... Steve, I am so mad. I am so mad because we waited that long to not get on a ride.
All of it just to meet Ariel. And by the way, I still hadn't figured out what happened yet. I thought we were still in line to get onto the ride. And then they were like, she just was sitting on the queue for some reason. And then we were going to continue on into the queue. No, they pushed us back out of the walkway. Yeah.
By far. The worst experience I've ever had.
Such a newbie mistake. This is not normally...
The Ariel meet and greet is immediately next to the Ariel ride. So make sure you know what you're doing. Anyway. And then that night, we also picked up...
For those that are wondering, we're posting the pictures on Instagram for you. So you can see
them. You are not posting those pictures on Instagram.
Oh, we have to.
Ugh.
I didn't get to see them, though. But they're not on my phone. They've got, you know...
Yeah, they're only on mine. So I get to decide if those go up on Instagram or not.
I'm working my magic.
And then we also, that night, we played Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, which is a fun card game that they have at Magic Kingdom there.
Right.
Where you run around to, almost like the pirate game. You tap your band and you are interacting with portals and cartoons and villains. And...
But that one's even cooler though, because you use your card to fight off the villains.
Right.
And so you had to hold it up in a very specific spot and then fight them. And while we were doing so, somehow we won a magical Christmas card that they only have for this season.
Right. We just happened to be walking past the right person at the right time. And she's like, "Hey, do you guys have the Very Merry Christmas card?" We're like, "We do not." And so we got two free cards for that.
Oh, it was fun.
It was
in the gift store. I don't remember what they said to us. They're like, "Good luck, something somethings." What were we doing?
Sorcerers.
Good luck, sorcerers. And we're like, "Oh my!"
it was
super mission throughout the park.
Super fun. Yeah. And these are the kind of things that you can do, like I said, to fill space, fill time between things, because otherwise, it can be a lot of standing around and waiting, especially when it's that busy. It was a lot of people.
That's a great point.
So we wrap up the night there. We see the fireworks back by Ariel, which I have commented is my favorite place to watch those fireworks.
Yeah, absolutely, it's fantastic.
Super fun.
I'll see if I can post a video too that we tried to take.
We tried to. Oh, there you go. We tried to equal out the horrific Ariel experience with the positive Ariel experience at the end of the night. And then we take off, and because we are seasoned Disney people from California, we stay off property.
Yeah, well, even trying to stay on property at Disney World is expensive.
Expensive.
It's very true, they want you to. They push you into it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and there aren't really many good options, and we're the king of motels. Like, I know how to find, you know, normally we know how to find a bargain, and usually it's worth it to do so. But we booked a place in Florida, I tell you. And the reviews look to be fine enough through the website that we booked through. I'm not going to say which one. And then we get to the hotel, and it's not. It's not fine.
To be fair, we pulled in, and there were quite a few nice cars in the in the parking lot.
Which is a good way to judge your hotel.
Okay, that's good. That's nice. But full disclosure, Steve had decided to lighten his load for the day by emptying out his wallet of all of his identification, which is a great way to go on vacation on a road trip.
So I'd left my ID at home 500 miles away.
Yeah.
And then I had to convince the guy to let us book into the hotel that I already had a reservation for. I'm showing him everything. I'm like, here's my registration. Here's my business card.
Here's anything. Can you get a fingerprint scanner? Call up Disney. They know who I am.
I can send you to my website. There's photos of me everywhere.
Right. Here's my Facebook. So Steve manages to get us checked in without an ID, miracle, right? I suppose, or not. And then we march up to our room, and how do I put this gently? We walked past a prostitute.
I think the polite term is a lady of the night.
A lady of the evening.
Yeah.
We were in the red light district.
And her employer was with her, apparently.
It was
awful.
Really awkward. And we were like, okay, that's weird. Luckily for us, they were two doors down. So we get to our door, and our key card doesn't work to get into the door.
Yeah.
Beep, nah, beep, nah. And so Steve has to run back down to the office. Meanwhile, I'm standing there with the madam, and then multiple other people come out that are smoking.
And they were like staring us down. Yeah. I've never felt this stare down before. And they were saying, anyway, needless to say, it was pretty awkward. The whole thing was awkward about it.
Yeah.
And we're completely nervous. I'm literally staring at the door till 4 o'clock in the morning, making sure nobody's going to break in on us. We put all of our loud stuff by the door, so we'll hear it if they try to break in the window. I literally slept with Pepper Mace. We're that kind of traveler. So we said, no, we're out of here. We are headed home.
I said, you know what? Let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can make it through the night comfortably. And we could not.
Nope.
Beyond the fact that the people around us were super sketchy, the door looked like it had had a crowbar used on it at some point. The blinds were broken so that you could see directly into the room. If you turned on the sink, the water ran over the counter more than actually into the sink.
Right.
overall, it was just a very uncomfortable experience.
And again, the reviews online on the website looked fine, fine enough. But then we get home and Google the reviews later on. The Google reviews were not fine. No. They were completely different.
They talked about people being robbed at gunpoint, tires being stabbed in the parking lot, like legit bad reviews.
And it was not a cheap hotel either. It was one of the more expensive ones that we've stayed at. It's just the fact that like it was ridiculous. Anyway, so moral of the story, if you're staying in Orlando, be very cautious about where you decide to book your hotel at, because there's some areas down there that you may not want to end up in, and you may think, and even to be fair, if we had been on the other side of the hotel, it might not have been as bad, but I just don't think you can risk it, especially if you were with family and kids and everything else.
Right.
No, you couldn't possibly. You couldn't possibly. That place was way too scary.
Not a fan.
So we were out of there.
Yeah. So literally I told Steve, I was like, oh, we can stay here, but I am not leaving my stuff in the room.
By the way, that because we left a day early and they wouldn't refund us back our money, literally makes it the most expensive hotel we've ever stayed in, including the ones in Vegas, like the MGM Grand and the Luxor and stuff. It was more expensive than those.
Oh,
because we had to leave early.
Chose to leave early.
Yeah, I guess we. Yeah,
they which is the downside, because really the whole reason for having the hotel was to be able to go back to the hotel on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And then not have to leave directly, you know, to go home. And unfortunately, because the hotel was less than desirable, we were just, first of all, we're in a kind of foul mood that day anyway.
Yep.
And then the park, the Epcot park, got progressively more and more and more and more crowded, to the point where it's more crowded than you could ever imagine how crowded it was.
It's fantastic. By the way, now that we're no longer newbies, we're doing it again next year. But some of the things that we decided was, we got there basically right at rope drop, right, to get into the park.
At Epcot, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really, so we're like, well,
because you didn't want to stay in the hotel any longer.
That is true. But we decided that next year we're not going to go into the park until at least like 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. And then stay throughout the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
That, because there wasn't really a reason to get there that early.
Yeah.
That we totally could have made it into the park. And since you're not getting on any rides anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we did get on rides, but that late at night, you're not getting on any rides.
And they don't have any Pirates games to play.
Right. They have a Perry the Platypus game, but I can't imagine it would work with that many people running around.
Yeah, people were saying that it takes an hour and a half to go two pavilion lengths.
Yeah.
You know, and they put tape on the ground. They are not even kidding about it, y'all. They are serious.
They give you full-on road directions as you're walking through there.
There's arrows. Like, if you want to turn around to go back the other way, you have to go around the wishing well and then back out.
Like, there's no wishing well. And they, the roundabout, yeah.
Yeah, they put tape up so that if you try to cross over, you'll run yourself into the sticky tape, you know, and get stuck all up in the duct tape and stuff. And, oh,
yeah,
it's like masking tape,
and they have to because there are so many people, and people tend to get selfish when there's that big of a crowd. They decide that their time is more valuable than everybody else's, so they are more than willing to run straight through your party or right into you.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter to them as long as they get where they want to.
Here's the other problem that we were going to have with staying that late, was that everybody online was saying that if you stay there till New Year's, that the time to get off the park, for you to get back to your car and off property, is well over 3 hours.
Right.
We can literally drive home in 6.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah, and by that point, we were both tired and a bit grumpy, and we said, you know what? This may not be our year to be here this late. So, we did our Frozen ride and then jetted out of there. And our leaving the park was easy.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was super easy. Both nights, actually, because we left Magic Kingdom a little early, too. And we saw the rat maze of barriers and guards that they had for people leaving there. I'm like, this is going to be 3 hours of getting out of here, too.
Yeah, y'all, not even kidding. Like, cattle, you want to talk about being treated like cattle? This is literally the most, the most amount of barriers I've ever seen in a property. And they were not messing around with it. They were very specific on what you needed to do to get off property.
And if you went the wrong way, they're like, excuse me, where are you going? you know, and you're like, oh, geez, we're just heading this direction.
Interestingly enough, though, we left just to, I don't remember what time specifically, like 11:30 on the 30th, maybe, right?
Possibly.
We went to go leave and we wanted to get the ferry because everybody knows on Match, you know, we talked about it before, did leave Magic Kingdom. Mm. You have to use either a ferry or a tram to get off. The ferries, they were like, no, they're not going to run for another hour until after the fireworks. And we're like, well, then how do we get back to the car? Like, you literally built a park that makes it so we can't get back to the car without a ferry, and you're not running for an hour?
Right.
But they were running trams, and they said, you better run. So we did.
And it was crowded. Even when we got on the monorail, it was crowded. And I'm like, ooh, I can't imagine what it's like when all those people leave.
Yep.
So as much as we figured out our trip, there are some things that you just can't avoid when you're dealing with Disney at its most popular.
And we will be staying on property next year, one way or the other, because you can't possibly leave.
Yeah.
When it's that bad. It's just too much.
Yeah. And, you know, you can take your time leaving too. You know. But that is our that is our odyssey of a trip. Some amazingly fun things, some horrific things, aka meeting Ariel. No offense to Ariel. I'm sure
she was sweet as sugar.
Yeah.
And her hands were so cold and nice. It was lovely.
Oh. Oh, but it's like I always say. If you're frequenting hotels where there are women of the evening, it might be time to change your reservations.
Oh.
But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.